Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And who knows, by the end of this summer, we might say, you know what? We found a gem. We found something different, either a new player or a player that has fundamentally changed the way he plays, that steps in, that makes us comfortable. And who knows, dare I say it, sir, nobody is untouchable. There are no sacred cows on this team, including Sergiño Dest. Hello, Sunshine. I'm Alexi Lawless, and welcome to the State of the Union podcast. We look at the beautiful game on and off the field through the lens of red, white, and blue-colored glasses. This show, we'll be talking Giroux incoming, Puig extension, Copa Italia, La Liga invasion, Piers Morgan singing while he's winning, Shogun, Oklahoma, returning to the front office, SOTU history lesson, and so much more. But first, joining me, as always, my friend, my colleague, my guiding light, David Mossy, a soccer savant and a Fox soccer researcher and writer extraordinaire! Mossy, how you doing on this Wednesday, April 24th in the year 2024?
I'm doing well. Excited for today. It's the dawn of a new era on the State of the Union podcast. Did you notice who sent out the rundown yesterday?
I did. So explain to the folks what's about to happen here.
So Sean Sullivan is leaving for his honeymoon. He's going to Italy with his lovely wife, Amanda. Young Kyla Morris will be taking his place. And Sean has been grooming her, easing her in. And she sent out today's rundown. Sean is still producing, but Kyla heavily involved.
Yes, she will take over the reins. More than capable from what we have seen from her. And we're very excited to be led by her going forward. It shouldn't be a problem because she's very, very smart. Probably much too smart to be working on the State of the Union. But while we have her, before she gets picked off into bigger and better things going forward, we will use her. And that's going to be fine. Have you watched anything, my friend?
I am off and running on Shogun. I've watched the first four episodes.
Really?
Yes.
It's amazing, Mossy. This morning before I came into work, my wife knew I was heading off early to do the show. And she said, well, what's Mossy watching? Because, you know, I'll tell her what you recommended, or she at some point will listen to some of the show. Not all of it. Never all of it. But certainly the beginning part. And she evidently, like my mom, takes your word as gospel when it comes to things. And she said, has you watched Shogun yet? Because she was engrossed in it. And we are of the age, you are not, where the original Shogun miniseries and that whole thing came about. So this is a compare and contrast. She liked it. But you're just starting out?
I've watched the first 4 out of 10.
Okay. So you got a ways to go. And?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. You're going to continue on.
Absolutely.
Unlike Manhunt situation, which I went back to it last night a little bit. Because now I feel it's a mission, you know, and I just have to finish it, even though, like I said, it's just not that interesting. Let's see. What did I watch? Over there on the Max, the HBO type of thing, An American Bombing, The Road to April 19th, 1995, talks about the Oklahoma City bombing and the radicalization of Timothy McVeigh, who was responsible for that, the deadliest act of domestic terrorism in the country. Really interesting look back, not necessarily new news, but I think a good refresher course in terms of who he is and the times and what it was, what it meant, as it's relative to what's happening around the world. And so, yeah, recommend that. It's not a episodal type of thing. It's an hour and a half or something like that. Again, over there on Max. Should we light this candle?
Let's do it.
Where should we start?
We begin by looking ahead to this upcoming weekend in Major League Soccer. We've picked out some of the biggest games. First up, LAFC will host Portland. These two teams met a couple of weeks ago in Portland. It was an entertaining 2-2 draw, and now they meet again. Portland winless in their last six, so Phil Neville and company in badly need of a victory.
But they're going to LA, right?
Yep.
Yeah, this Portland team, I can't quite figure them out, other than that they are good in attack, and they are interesting in attack. And they're not so good in defending. And so that says to me that they are a work in progress. And that while some are heading in the opposite direction, I think this is a club that is heading in a more positive direction. Not necessarily elite by any stretch of the imagination. So it still would surprise me if Portland were able to come in and get a result against this LAFC team that also is looking forward to this summer and the arrival of Giroud and possibly others.
Yeah, we discussed this a few weeks ago. I thought we were already here, but it was reported as fresh news in the last couple of days. The fact that Olivier Giroud is likely heading to LAFC this summer, France's all-time leading scorer, World Cup winner, still knocking in goals with AC Milan, where he plays alongside Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa. But come the summer, it sounds like he will be playing alongside Dennis Bouanga and company in that LAFC front line.
Yeah, I mean, worst kept secret, and it really wasn't a secret, but now to have it official and to see him and... What do you think? How do you think he's going to do? We know he's in a long line of players that have had storied careers that on the surface look like good signings and somebody that could help, but it doesn't always translate.
I think he will do well. I think he still has plenty left in the tank.
You do?
Yes.
Will he change his game or just be the same player that he always was?
Same player he always was.
Okay. All right, so Mossy's seal of approval. We'll see how that goes for LAFC. I'm here for it, if nothing else, possibly, and we'll probably have to do a list at some point because you know how much we love lists, greatest hair in MLS history. He's already probably going to shoot to the top echelon when it comes to hair, as is somebody else we're about to talk about.
Next up, Austin will host the LA Galaxy. This game is on Fox. The Galaxy all alone atop the West, but I think everybody feels they need to improve the defense if they're going to be serious contenders.
Yeah, I mean, I think in each and every analysis of the Galaxy, first thing that anybody says, and I completely agree, is this is a fun team to watch. So all things being equal, and we get into the nitty-gritty of are they good, are they bad, but ultimately this is entertainment. And are they fun to watch? And a lot of times we couple winning with entertainment. But in this case, this team is not only winning and getting the points that they need, but they are also fun to watch. It does not, by any stretch of the imagination, make the LA Galaxy perfect. As a matter of fact, maybe the imperfection is what is giving us this entertainment. And if you're Greg Vanney and company over there, maybe you secretly say, you know what? I would give anything just for a nice, boring game, a nice game where we're not letting the opposition, even though they're inferior, at least get a sniff and feel like that they are in this game. But the bright spot over the last few years, when it has been bad, has been Ricky Pouche.
Yeah, the Galaxy making news as well. They have agreed a contract extension with Ricky Pouche. I know he's one of your favorites. There were stories at one point that he was bored here in Los Angeles, not enjoying his life, but he has chosen to extend his deal. So evidently he's found things to do, perhaps Griffith Observatory or the Hollywood Bowl, a couple of meals at Mastro's, and now he's willing to stick it out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is, I think he has been worth the price of admission. That he has gotten frustrated over the last few years should come as no surprise. Oftentimes, the joy you feel and the comfort you feel is, like we just said, relative to winning and losing. So now, this team sitting atop of the Western Conference, playing well, scoring goals, yes, letting in goals, but a free-flowing type of attack that oftentimes centers and is geared around Ricky Pouche, that's got to make you feel pretty good. Again, wonderful hair. And as I've said time and time again, when he gets the ball, he does things that others can't. And he sees things that others don't. And that's incredibly valuable. And in a strange way, he's a rarity in this world. You know, we've talked about it before, the traditional number 10, the guy that pulls the strings, has gone by the wayside a little bit, and it's kind of by committee in terms of what is happening. But if you take Ricky Pouche out of this Los Angeles Galaxy team, it is a very different type of Los Angeles team. So thankfully, we get to see him going forward. Thankfully, he is in a happy place, and he likes playing for the Galaxy, and he likes being here in MLS. And who knows? Maybe this is a situation where we see him for years to come being one of those stars for LA and for MLS.
The Red Bulls will host Vancouver. These two teams in second place in their respective conferences.
The Red Bulls and Vancouver, two of my surprise teams in terms of how they have gone. Probably if I had to rank them, the best surprises, of so far, just a third into the season here, a little bit more than a third into the season here, it would be number three. Well, probably the Galaxy would be number three. Galaxy probably number three. I didn't think that they would be this good after being so mediocre. The Red Bulls would be number two because not only are they back to being good, but they are doing it in a completely anti-Red Bull way. And then number one probably would be Vancouver. So that the Red Bulls are facing Vancouver, these are two of my most positive surprises when it comes to the 2024 version of MLS.
If you're wondering about Inter Miami, they are away to New England. More than 60,000 fans expected at Gillette Stadium for that one. Messi coming off that two-goal performance against Nashville. Goal.com, by the way, wrote a very misleading clickbaity article about you. On our last pod, when we discussed Messi's performance against Nashville, you mentioned in passing that the goals were nothing special, but then you proceeded to wax poetic about Messi's greatness, and they wrote an article that you called Messi's performance overhyped.
Well, you're welcome, Goal.com, and anybody else that takes stuff that happens on the State of the Union. Well, see, I've been around for a while, okay? So it's par for the course. I've seen it. Really doesn't bother me unless it really, really puts me in a bad light. And if Messi or any of the Inter Miami faithful would like to yell at me for a article that they saw that completely mischaracterizes it, then have at it. You know, you're welcome for creating the content that you use, whether it's Goal.com or anybody else out there. You mentioned New England, 60,000 people. It's going to be a big event, obviously, but they want to talk about Inter Miami are coming in and facing a team that is not good. I gave you my biggest and best surprises of the year. I should actually probably have included Colorado, how well they have done, maybe even over the LA Galaxy. I'll give you my worst and I guess biggest surprises. Number three would probably be Nashville. Number two would be New England. It's not that you couldn't have predicted that some of these teams would regress or be mediocre and or poor. But the extent of this futility when it comes to New England, I mean, they better find something that has so far been missing this season in front of 60,000 people, in front of 60,000 potential new fans for the New England Revolution. Because if they go out there and given what's happened and given where they are, they could get their ass handled to. And then probably the worst has to be Seattle in terms of the expectations of what Seattle, we thought Seattle was going to be, that they are so bad through a number of different reasons, but that they are where they are right now. I think they have to be the worst. So I'll be watching because it's Inter Miami, and I'll be watching to see if somehow New England can find some sort of vein of ability, of talent, of spirit, of heart. Throw in whatever word you want there that enables them to compete against this Inter Miami team that's coming in and has to be licking their chops. We'll see if Messi scores a goal that is worthy of my praise, or if it's just another lackluster goal that just gets praise because he is Messi.
Next up, the CONCACAF Champions Cup semis are underway. Last night, I covered leg one between America and Pachuca at the Azteca. It finished 1-1 with both goals in the first half. Zendejas scored first for America, and then Mikolta equalized. A couple of notes on this one. Zendejas up to 5 goals in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. He's the second leading scorer behind Solomon Rondon, also doing very well in the Liga MX Clausura. We know he's struggled with the U.S., had a lousy Gold Cup last year. Is he a player you've moved on from, or do you think he deserves another chance?
I think it would be hypocritical of me when we talk about Haji Wright, for example, of him forcing his way back into the conversation, if Zendejas forces his way back in the conversation. When it comes to, you know, Haji Wright, I don't think that I've necessarily changed my mind. And I don't think that he is going to come in and automatically be a completely different player and take over that number nine spot. When it comes to Zendejas, with what we have seen, you're right. He has failed to translate his proficiency and his talent that we see from a club perspective to the national team. And I think it's much more about style. I think he is being asked to and attempting to do things that he doesn't do with the club. And this is an age-old type of story when it comes to players. Your ability to transition and be different at times than what you are is directly relative to whether you succeed or whether you say. I don't think that he can be a different player. This is the player that he is. And this is also another situation where we get a warped perception relative to the national team of what this player actually is. And we ooh and ah and say, how could he not be good? And oftentimes we criticize and throw it back on whoever the coach is. In this case, it would be Greg Berhalter, and say, well, part of a quality of a coach is to be able to adapt and adjust your team to fit the players that are coming in, especially in an international sense where you don't get so much time with the players.
Second point, in Mexico, there is a raging debate right now as to whether Luis Malagón or Guillermo Ochoa should be starting in goal for the national team. A lot of people feel like Malagón would have saved that Tyler Adams shot in the Nations League final, and he bolstered that argument last night. I don't know if you saw this, but in the first half, he made one of the great saves you'll ever see on Idrissi.
Completely outstretched fingertip save, and he saw it. And it's one of those saves that goalkeepers, even though field players might not, well, they appreciate it, but goalkeepers really appreciate it because it takes every last inch of your body. It takes every reaction that you have, because that was headed in the upper 90, and he gets up and he just gets a little flick on it and it goes by the post. So I think that there is a call for that. I do think that Ochoa probably has to make major mistakes for that to change. And I think he gets the benefit of the doubt and the cachet of having been there and done that over the years.
We know Sean Sullivan is an ageist, and
yes,
he feels
true.
Like the mere fact that Ochoa is 38 should disqualify him from starting for Mexico.
Yeah, he doesn't want any, I think anybody pretty much over 30 being involved in soccer, basically. So that's the cutoff for him. And it's like a Hunger Game type of thing. Boom, you're gone.
We're taping this on Wednesday morning. Later today, Columbus, who are carrying the flag for MLS, will host Monterrey in the first leg of that tie.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, if you are going to put eggs in a basket, and one basket from an MLS perspective, there are certainly worse baskets that you can put them in than Columbus. And so I have no problem. I see this as an equal type of matchup. And, you know, the first leg, they got away with one last round. They have to make sure that they come out here with a positive result in that first leg.
We talked about Olivier Giroud coming to play for LAFC. There are stories that Carlos Vela might sign with Monterrey for the rest of this year and then will join the San Diego expansion franchise in 2025.
What a weird situation with Carlos Vela. I mean, let's be honest, though. Carlos Vela, over the years, as great as a talent he is and as impactful as he has been, he's also kind of weird in terms of the way that he thinks about things and his whole thing with the national team and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, if that's what this ends up being. Again, I hope it's not another Brandon Vasquez type of situation where the opportunity to have him here, whether LAFC, but because of the restrictions and the regulations, they aren't able to do that. And we are denied the opportunity to see this great player, not because they don't want him, but because they can't fit him in. And if this ends up being where he is that first or one of those first signings, and certainly the big first major signing down there in San Diego, it's a pretty good signing to have to start your franchise off with. And keep in mind that he was the face and the first signing of LAFC. So this would be unprecedented and historic in terms of using Carlos Vela to ignite your team. And if it works half as well as it worked for LAFC, then San Diego would be in a good place.
That is it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, take a trip around Europe.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, welcome back. Let's flip it over to Europe. Mossy, where should we start? Over there in Italia?
Yes. On Monday, after we finished taping our pod, Inter Milan secured the Serie A title with 5 matches to spare. They beat AC Milan 2-1 at the San Siro. Acerbi and Marcus Turan scored their goals. Tomori pulled one back for AC Milan. There were fisticuffs late, 3 red cards, Teo Hernandez, Calabria, and Dumfries all sent off. But in the end, it was Inter celebrating. Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa both started this match, but were not able to prevent the AC Milan defeat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was a wonderful example of one of the great club rivalries in the world and all of the passion that it can produce. You know, the problem was, in this case, and we've seen it in other cases, you know, with Barcelona and Real Madrid, if it comes at a time when there is a disparity between the two teams, you're hoping that that passion and that history makes the lesser of the teams play up. And I think what was on display here was the reality of the situation, in that Inter Milan is just so much better than AC Milan. And it has to hurt, and you're driving the knife in when not only do you win and you win the Scudetto, you secure the Scudetto, but you do it in the San Siro as the away team, in this case Inter, even though it's both of their home stadium. That's pretty epic from an Inter Milan. See, that's the branding right there. There it is. I want to say Inter Milan, and yet I immediately, my first instinct is to say Inter Miami. Incredible.
Is Inter Miami now a more relevant club in world football than Inter Milan?
That's a good question, Mossy. I think, yeah, I mean, when you, the pink, the jersey sales, obviously Messi, the interest and I guess slash curiosity, I think I can make a case for that. Yeah.
I mentioned that Pulisic and Musa both started. Pulisic started on the left wing, Musa on the right wing, with Rafael Leão playing down the middle, a new formation that Stefano Pioli unveiled that did not work. The Milan fans were very unhappy with him. And there are widespread reports, Fabrizio Romano and others, saying that Stefano Pioli is going to be let go at the end of the season. That's potentially bad news for Pulisic. He finally found a manager who believes in him, and now they're going to bring in somebody else, so all bets are off.
Well, I mean, I don't have to tell Christian Pulisic. He knows this. He's been around long enough. He's a grizzled veteran, even at a relatively young age in his career, in that he's seen how quickly things can change. I got a question on X this morning about, has he done enough? Yeah, he's done more than enough to prove his worth, to prove his value to Milan. As a matter of fact, I think you could argue he's, you know, like I said, arguably been their best player. But it doesn't matter, because when there is a changing of the guard, there's often a change of mentality, and you have people that come in with their preconceived notions and their baggage and their direction that they want to go. And who knows? He might be, Christian Pulisic might be a situation where he is in a place that thousands of players have been in, where they are just not part of the plans going forward. Good part for Christian Pulisic is I think that there'll be a lot of suitors out there. There will be plenty of people that will want him going forward. But it would be ironic as to, you know, arguably the best season that he has results in him having to go elsewhere.
For Inter Milan, it's their 20th Serie A title. That does include the one they were handed in the mid-2000s because of the Calciopoli scandal. That's still a point of contention. Italy, nevertheless, officially, they move past their arch rivals, AC Milan, who are at 19.
So that's 20. So they get the two stars, right?
Correct.
The representing the 10, right?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Again, in the San Siro, as the away team, it's just take the L, literally and figuratively, when it comes to Milan. Well, congratulations. Does Inzaghi get enough credit?
No, I think he's underrated. Very good manager.
Really?
Got them to the Champions League final last season. They gave City all they could handle in that game.
Do you think it's just because it's a Serie A team? I mean, and credit, I think we're talking about worldwide global credit. It's because it's a Serie A team, because he's not as flamboyant and big in terms of the personality, or he hasn't done it in a completely different, unique way in terms of how they play?
Yeah, I think he's a low-key personality. Yeah. He's not even the most famous figure in his family. Pippo Inzaghi is the more famous of the two, certainly as a player. But, you know, it's interesting. Italy, they continue to pump out good managers. Jose Mourinho in 2010 is the last foreigner to win Serie A. It's been all Italian managers since then.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's something in the Agua. All right, where should we go now?
On Tuesday, we had Coppa Italia semifinal second leg action. Lazio hosted Juventus. Juve had won the first leg 2-0. Lazio jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the second leg thanks to a pair of goals by our old friend Tati Castellanos.
Tati.
Then in the second half, Juve brought on Milik and Timmy Weah, and they combined on a goal. Weah with the assist, Milik with the finish. So it was 2-1 Lazio on the night, but 3-2 Juve on aggregate. They move on to the final. Nice moment for Timmy Weah.
Great moment for Timmy Weah. Yeah, you think it's an assist?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right. I want to make sure, because producer Sean, who we know, you know, is a stickler for these things, he was like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Yeah. Great for Tim Weah. Great for Weston. Great for Juventus. They did just enough to get them through, but in a cup situation and in a home and away type of situation, that's all you need. So the potential for Americans to win silverware continues when it comes to Italy.
And what I said about Pioli applies here to Allegri. Could be on his way out at the end of the season. You wonder what that would mean for Weston McKennie and Timmy Weah, although it might be a moot point with Weston because the latest reports are both sides are still far apart in those contract negotiations, so he might be leaving this summer anyway.
Pay the man his money. This is, again, arguably the best player on the team, able to play multiple positions. Again, like Pulisic, arguably his best season as a professional. And so if they don't pay him, there will be others. It would be interesting to see whether it's Pulisic or Weston McKennie, how much they have enjoyed Serie A. We've talked about how well they have played, but have they enjoyed it enough that if another Serie A team came about, would they want to do that? Or are they pining for in Weston's case and Christian's case, a different type of EPL move, move back to Germany where both of them played? And I don't know. I don't know ultimately how they feel, but I would love to see them continue on. Maybe if they can't do it where they are right now, to continue on in Italy. I think it's a good place for them. And by all accounts, they've had a good time, certainly on the field, but hopefully off the field.
The other semifinal later today, Atalanta will host Fiorentina, looking to overturn a 1-0 deficit. This upcoming weekend in Serie A, Bologna will host Udinese. The big story here, all of Italy excited about this, Sean Sullivan will be in attendance for this match. You know, we showed video recently of David Beckham getting mobbed while leaving a restaurant in Monterey. Do you think it'll be similar scenes with Sean Sullivan?
Once the word gets out that he is hitting their shores and that he is in the house, yeah, I think it'll be complete pandemonium. Some people oohing and awing and crying and fawning over him, and others, I think, taking him to task for some of his, you know, crazy takes when it comes to soccer out there.
We mentioned he's heading to Italy for his honeymoon. Yep. Bologna, one of the stops. Also Florence, Cinque Terre. So it should be a lovely trip.
He's going to have a great time. So hopefully it all goes well in terms of the travel and they don't change any things when it comes to the soccer.
His beloved Bologna sitting pretty. Italy have clinched that extra Champions League spot. And Bologna are in fourth. So they're definitely going to be in the Champions League next season. Thiago Motta doing a great job there. The battle is really for that fifth spot between the likes of Roma, Atalanta, Lazio. However, keep in mind, Roma and Atalanta are both in the Europa League semis. The Europa League winner gets a Champions League spot as well. So they have that path. Italy could have six teams in the Champions League next season.
Wow. I mean, this is a resurgence. This is a return to glory for Serie A that we've talked so much about, all the different ups and downs on the field, off the field, and the killing of the golden goose and all that. So congratulations to Serie A in general.
So Inter have clinched the title, Leverkusen have clinched the title, Real Madrid and PSG each have double-digit leads in their league. So as we keep talking about, in the top leagues in Europe, the only title race is in England, and we'll go there next. On Tuesday, Arsenal hammered Chelsea 5-0 at the Emirates. Trossard in the first half, and then Kai Havertz and Ben White each with two goals in the second half. Your buddy Piers Morgan, very happy with this result.
Yeah, he was singing on the radio this morning. So he thinks it's kind of a fait accompli. He thinks that it's done. They are in the pole position. I know you don't. I think we've talked about this, and it's kind of unfair and difficult to judge because of the differences in games played.
A couple of things here. Kai Havertz was actually criticized by some people on X for celebrating his goals against his former team. I know there are a few things you find stupider than this whole you can't celebrate against your former team.
I have takes on Kai Havertz, but in this case, completely love him for doing what he is doing. You are responsible and associated, obviously connected with the team that is paying you. And in this case, and oftentimes at the highest level, paying you a lot of money. And I cringe every single time I see players not celebrate because it's a team that they played for. Even if it's a team that met incredible, times and memories and moments. No. You are now with a different team. And it's not disrespectful to celebrate a goal in a game where so few goals happen. And so Kai Havertz, who is an enigma to me, because, I mean, years ago when we were doing the Bundesliga, we remember him coming up, undeniable in terms of his talent and his ability. Still don't quite know what position he plays. Still don't quite know if he is elite. But I'm happy that he has at least found a place here where he is valued. It's not that he wasn't valued other places, but where he is valued, and more importantly, he is producing relative to that value.
Yeah, we followed him when he was coming up at Leverkusen, and we're going to see him this summer in the Euros. He'll be an important player for Germany. Later today, Liverpool will be away to Everton in the Merseyside Derby. Then on Thursday, Manchester City are away to Brighton, and all three have interesting games at the weekend. Liverpool away to West Ham, Arsenal away to Tottenham in the North London Derby, and Manchester City away to Nottingham Forest. So I'm very curious to see where we're going to be sitting come Monday when we do our next pod.
Yeah, we'll see how Kai Havertz and Piers Morgan fare this weekend. You said they're away where?
Away to Tottenham.
See, yeah, that's not easy, right?
No.
Okay, you got something?
When Gio Reyna moved to Forest, I think we all agreed it was a risky move, but you said the silver lining is he might learn to suffer and sacrifice. This upcoming game against Manchester City is the quintessential example of that. It'll be interesting to see how Gio comports himself in a game in which his team is going to have like 25% possession.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for a moment of magic. And so you're looking for people that can provide a moment of magic. And certainly Gio Reyna qualifies. By the way, Kai Havertz and Gio Reyna, they got a lot of similarities in, I think, their body language. And it's not intentional. It's just some, the body often gives off a aloof type of vibe. And that can turn people off when it comes to these players. So, Forest have their hands full right now. We'll see if they're whinging, whining, complaining, squeaky wheeling has any effect when it comes to the referees this weekend.
We go to the Netherlands next. On Thursday, PSV will face Heerenveen. PSV can clinch the title. We know Sergino Dest, a big reason why they're in this position, but he will not take part in this match. It is official, by the way, torn ACL. He's going to be out for the rest of 2024.
Yeah. And, we talked about earlier this week about the problems that poses for the U.S. But PSV is going to finish this off. And it was a fait accompli. And congratulations to PSV. We can do that now.
Heerenveen making news today. They've hired Robin van Persie as their manager for next season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Robin van Persie. Nice. We'll see how that goes. I mean, good pedigree in terms of history and as a player, but also, coming from a country that seems to produce. We talked about Italy and their production of coaches and managers. Well, same goes for Mr. Van Persie and friend.
And then last item in this beefy second segment, we talked on our last pod about this relevant lawsuit and the desire to host European club matches here in the United States. La Liga president Javier Tebas said in an interview that he expects over the next couple of years for there to be La Liga games played in North America.
Yeah, they see an opening. They see an opening from a business perspective. They also see an opening potentially from a legal perspective to have this market available and to have it in a competitive situation, which we know ups the ante and makes it that much more attractive. And this has been planned and thought about and dreamt of for a long time. And we talked before about the legal ramifications of doing this and, America as a soccer business opening up this market to the rest of the world and the challenge that puts on Major League Soccer and USL and even NWSL and others. And I've told you before, I believe in competition. I believe in global competition. And MLS has to prepare and has to adjust for this possibility going forward, whether they like it or not. The good part is that MLS has at their disposal the ability to do the things that can make them compete going forward. I don't begrudge them kicking up and making making a scene and trying to do everything they possibly can to not have to deal with this competition. If you can do something to mitigate that, I understand why you do it, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen going forward. So I hope that they ultimately do something. Here's what I would love to see happen. How about MLS, the first game of next season, put Inter Miami with Messi playing in Spain, in Barcelona, wherever you want. So turnabout is fair play. If the world is now everybody's oyster in terms of playing games, and I know MLS is certainly not on the level of La Liga and others out there in terms of popularity, well, find a way to expand the brand globally. We'll talk a little bit more about Apple and all that. But if your goal is to, from an MLS perspective, expand the brand globally, then do the things that are going to plant a flag and fight back. And that would be a wonderful little counterpunch to what evidently is being planned and potentially could happen here going forward. And it's not going to stop with La Liga. All the leagues are going to do it.
And we've seen other American sports leagues do this. The NFL is playing a game in Brazil next year. I think it's Packers, Eagles, and everybody in Brazil is excited about that.
I mean, obviously the difference between that is they have the biggest leagues in the world with little to no competition around the world. And so it is a little apples and oranges. And so I get it, but I do believe in the American entrepreneur. I do believe in capitalism. I do believe in competition. But I also believe that if we are going to allow it here, then everybody should allow it and, you know, find ways to, like I said, turn about that and do something different and doing something creative and doing something unique from an MLS perspective. And at home, if and when that compare and contrast happens, do the things so that the people that are taste testing, the people that are coming to it, the people that are comparing and contrasting are able to more often than not say, you know what, this is just as good. Or in certain cases, maybe this is better in terms of the domestic leagues that you have, the domestic teams that you have, and we don't necessarily need that incoming imported type of quality when it comes to the leagues that are going to play games here.
That is it.
All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, it's time for Ask Alexa.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, welcome back. It's time for Ask Alexi, that part of the show where you send in your comments, questions, and concerns. Keep in mind that our handle over there on the social media platforms is SOTU with Alexi, and use that hashtag Ask Alexi, or you can call into our State of the Union podcast hotline, which is 657-549-2297, 657-549-2297. What do the folks want to know this episode?
First up, we have a voicemail. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Mossy and Alexi, this is Gary in Louisville. The fellas and I were having a few pops the other day, and we were getting fired up about the summer of soccer on Fox. A little shameless plug there for you. But it led us down a rabbit hole about next summer's expanded World Cup, and we were kind of getting excited just talking about that. And that led to a few questions we had for you all. What's your all's temperature on it? Will there be at least two MLS teams in it, you think? And what's it going to take for a live State of the Union show to be filmed at a tailgate here at a Louisville City game? Keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Gary. Thank you for that plug. Yes, it's going to be a fun summer as we get ready to broadcast both the Euros and Copa America. It's going to be some really interesting stuff that's happening on the field, obviously over in Germany, but also here in the United States. So we're excited about that. But the look forward to, I mean, let's be honest, it's the summers of soccer going forward. And you could take it all the way to 2027, potentially having The Women's World Cup here, and obviously 2026 with what's happening, and next summer with the FIFA Club World Cup. Moss, you want to give a little primer on what that's going to look like next summer?
Yeah, so in terms of MLS at the Club World Cup, it's going to be definitely two and possibly three teams. We know Seattle has already qualified by virtue of winning the 2022 CONCACAF Champions League title. The U.S. as the host nation gets a spot. It's unclear who that's going to go to. There's a lot of cynicism out there that they're going to find a way to get Inter Miami and Messi in there. And then you have a 50% chance of a third team, either by Columbus winning this current edition of the CONCACAF Champions Cup or Monterrey winning it. Because Monterrey already qualified for this tournament by virtue of winning CCL in 2021, that spot would go to the club with the highest coefficient. And from everything I read, that would be Philadelphia. So you could have three teams representing MLS in that competition.
So I think, like we said, we already have Seattle going, and Seattle looks very different right now. So hopefully by next summer, they have drastically changed and improved, because once again, these are representatives of not just MLS, but American soccer in a very big tournament. I think without a doubt that MLS is going to do everything it can to get its best foot forward and its best representation. And let's be honest, Inter Miami is one of the elite teams in Major League Soccer. So I think that that would be fine. If it had to be between Inter Miami and Columbus, that's a real hard one. But I probably would go with Inter Miami. And, if it ends up being one of those other two. I mean, either way, you're going to have three, which is good. But big picture, Gary, here, when it comes to what this is going to be, keep in mind that this is the first time we are seeing this Club World Cup in its huge, big, expanded form. And so I'm actually excited for it, but it doesn't seem like from a business perspective, a lot of people are excited for it other than Apple. A lot of rumors flying around that Apple is going to take it lock, stock, and barrel, the entire thing, the global rights, $1 billion, whatever it ends up being, to televise this tournament. I think it's going to be a fun tournament. I think it's going to be a good tournament. Obviously, from a Fox perspective, we have focused in on tournaments and big events. And so I'll be a little jealous if it ends up being Apple in terms of the broadcasting here. But I'm going to watch it, and I'll be really interested to see. And it's a nice run-through in a certain way for what's going to happen in 2026.
Yeah, there's concern because for the European clubs, it takes place during their off season, that they're going to treat it like a preseason tournament. You're going to see a lot of stars pulling out with convenient injuries at the end of their campaign. So that's why people are hedging their bets. They're not sure how. I know Gianni Infantino is trying to imbue it with all this prestige and treat it like it's going to be this major, major tournament, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be an element of pride. And ultimately, in this case, and maybe for the most legitimate time in history, you will be able to say we are the champion. From a club perspective, we are the champions of the world, as opposed to champions of your country, champions of your confederation, your region that you play in here. So like I said, I'm excited about what it's ultimately going to look like. The more soccer, the better, in all of its different forms out there. So Gary, we're going to have fun next summer, even though from a Fox perspective, we probably won't be televising it. We're still going to follow it. We'll still talk about it on the State of the Union. And as far as your question about going to a Louisville City match, we'd love to go there. We'd love to do more live State of the Unions out there if and when we can. Obviously, we have a budget. We have all the different things that we do. But it would be fun to come to Louisville and hang with you guys, myself and Mossy, and do a show. So if we can get that worked out, thank you. Thank you. It would be a privilege and a pleasure to hang out with you guys.
I'm willing to go to Louisville, but I am still salty about the 2013 NCAA men's basketball final. Louisville defeated Michigan. Michigan got a very bad whistle in that game. Plus, Louisville have been exposed as cheaters since then. And as a Michigan fan, one thing I can't stand is a tainted national title.
That's true. That's true. I mean, let's be honest. You are angelic when it comes to your Wolverines over there. What else we got?
Next up, question on X. Kicking Balls FC asks, with Dest out of Copa America, do the U.S. men's national team make it out of the group?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as we lament the fact that a in-pen starter for the national team and a game changer for the U.S. men's national team on that right-hand side is not going to be there, of course you're making it out of the group. The rise or fall of the U.S. men's national team is not dependent on Sergiño Dest. Do we like to have him? Yes. Are there others that have stepped into that position? No. So it is a dilemma. It is a problem. But I don't think that it is game-changing in terms of their ability to get out of the group. And if and when they get out of the group, or if they don't get out of the group, it's certainly not an excuse that, well, Serginho Dest wasn't with the team.
I agree. They're in a group with Uruguay, Bolivia, and Panama. While Serginho Dest is a loss, to me, it doesn't drop the U.S. below Bolivia or Panama.
No.
I still expect them to finish in the top two. Now, it might hurt their chances of beating Uruguay and topping the group and of going far in the knockout stage. Keep in mind, the U.S. has two friendlies lined up before the Copa America against Colombia and Brazil. Whoever starts at right back in those games will be coming up against Luis Diaz and Vinicius Jr. So some tests right away.
Yeah, but you're looking, you know, I know, and I'm guilty of this, looking at it half a glass half full, half empty. If I'm a player, I'm licking my chops. If I'm a player that possibly has the opportunity to play there. And who knows? By the end of this summer, we might say, you know what? We found a gem. We found something different. Either a new player or a player that has fundamentally changed the way he plays, that steps in, that makes us comfortable. And who knows? Dare I say it? Nobody is untouchable. There are no sacred cows on this team, including Serginho Dest. And who knows? Maybe Serginho Dest this summer gets Wally pipped. We'll see.
Next up, another question on X, CyberSnork12921. I assume this is directed at you.
Okay.
Have you ever considered managing or getting back into some sort of director of football role? If so, what would be your pro and cons about it?
Yeah, so over the years, I've been asked hundreds of times about coaching, and it's a logical type of progression for a lot of ex-players. It has never interested me in the sense that I have never pursued it. If and when there came a point where I said, you know what, this is something that I really, really think that I want to do, I would leave no stone unturned and do everything in my power to make that happen. You know, with the understanding that a lot of other, you know, of my generation have a big, big head start. But I will reiterate, I love what I do, Masi. I love this job. They can pry it from my cold, dead, redheaded hands. And I'm going to do it as long as they will let me. I can still get better at it. And I enjoy it. I love the fact that now 20 plus years after I stopped kicking a ball, I'm still able to make a wonderful living and be involved in this game. And I'm still able to, you know, find platforms and be involved with, you know, great people here at Fox and everywhere that give me the opportunity to perform and to entertain and talk about the sport that I love. As far as the pros, I'm a different person. I'm 53 years old right now. Last time I was in the front office when I started, I was 33 years old. Very green, had no experience in the business world. So I would come back with a whole lot more understanding of what to do and what not to do. I suppose the cons would be that, you know, the game, and in this case, we'd be talking about the American professional game out there, has changed and expanded. And there would still be a learning curve, another learning curve for me in terms of getting back into it. But I don't want to do anything else. I enjoy what I'm doing. And while there are people out there that would argue that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing or are begging and pleading my employers not to have me continue, like I said, I want to keep doing it.
Aaron Schechter with a cheeky idea.
What's that?
In one of our upcoming shows, she would like you to put together a list of your best and worst moves from your GM career.
Oh, okay. I didn't have a lot. But I could do that. I could do a 1-2-3 and a 1-2-3 on either side. And it could be stuff on the field or off the field. I learned so much. Yes, I made plenty of mistakes, but I learned so much and got such an incredible appreciation for the men and women out there that day in and day out work their ass off to sell this game. And you talk about a labor of love. You talk about pushing that boulder up a hill each and every day. While it's gotten easier, it is still not easy out there. And all of the different, hey, we just talked about the competition that's out there and the competition that's coming and trying to sell soccer even in 2024, even with all the good things that are out there. It's pretty incredible. And I was really, really fortunate to be around a lot of really, really smart people that helped me along and were patient with me.
Would David Beckham be in the best or worst list? It did sort of cost you your job, but it's certainly been great for
small
the Galaxy as a
pay.
Franchise
small
and MLS as a league.
Pay. Yeah, I mean, that would certainly... I look at the David Beckham situation, well, it did cost me my job, as an incredible positive in terms of not just the Galaxy, but in terms of Major League Soccer and soccer. And so I'm benevolent. I am altruistic like that, in that I can step back. And while the personal side of me could be hurt and angry about something like that, I am a big enough person now, maybe not then, but maybe now, to look at the big picture and say, yes, that was good for the game. My gift to the game.
That's it for Ask Alexi. Time for one for the road.
All right, let's get for a one for the road. And I was thinking as I was driving into the office today, and it was based off of someone that had sent me a message over there on the X machine over there about, and it, well, I'm paraphrasing here, but they said, I didn't know you had a podcast. I just started listening to it and I really liked it. And it got me thinking about the fact that there are people on a daily basis that are coming into the State of the Union tent here. And we're so thankful because it has just grown over the years. For those that have listened for any length of time, it has literally grown in terms of what we have done, the numbers that we get, the way that we go about doing this each and every show. Mossy, tell the listeners and the viewers out there how this show started. Just a real quick glimpse and look back.
Well, from my perspective, remember, I had done a radio show with Eric Winalda on Sirius XM. People on Fox heard that and thought I was pretty good there. And then when Eric quit the radio show to go run for president of a U.S. Soccer Federation, which did not go well, by the way, they reached out to me and said, how would you feel about doing a podcast with Alexi? You had done a podcast called The Mutant Gene,
yep,
where you were kind of on your own.
Yep.
You had this guy, Max, in the room, but he wasn't really like an on-air co-host. He was more just kind of feeding you information. And so they approached you about it as well, and they paired us together. And we started doing this in February of 2018. To put that in perspective, Kyla Morris, who co-produced today's pod, I want to say she was still in high school.
Wonderful.
Aaron Schechter, I think, was a freshman at USC after having begrudgingly gone to USC rather than Wisconsin, where she would have preferred to have gone. It's been 6 years plus.
Right. And it's been wonderful. And like we said, we started in a closet over at a different building, and now we're in this wonderful studio. But what this pod is and isn't, I think, is important at times to consistently lay out as new people come in. It's impossible in this world to be everything to everybody. And we don't try. And we recognize that we are in this podcast world where everybody and their mother has a podcast. And every niche is covered out there. And every level within that niche is covered out there. And when it comes to the State of the Union, as I said, we don't try to be everything. It's impossible to cover the entire world of soccer, every single league, certainly every single game, every single player. But we readily admit we are giving you a surface, and we are giving you, if there is such a thing as cocktail party soccer, that type of primer. And if you want to get into the weeds, and if you want to get into niche, like I said, there are podcasts out there with that will cover that. But what we, I think, are is a good primer, is a good, in this case now, we've gone to two times a week, where we give you, obviously, our opinion. And my friend and colleague over here, David Mossy, you could sit down for an hour and go very, very deep on a lot of these things. And I recognize that at times, we both understand that it's not a time or a place for us to go deep. And we're good with that, because we do want this to be something that is digestible, something that is entertaining, something where you can get to know us as people. And like I said, something for if you are in the soccer world, whether you're a diehard soccer fan or whether you're just coming to it, you will find this something that is useful. I like to think that we have gotten to that point. It has taken some years and some bobbing and weaving and in and out and up and downing to get to where we are. We're not done by any stretch of the imagination, and we will continue to tweak it going forward. But I guess this is a long way of saying, Thank you to everybody that has watched. Thank you to everyone that has listened for helping us create what the format of this show is. And I know you're out there listening and watching at times and you say, well, why didn't they touch on this? And this was so important. And maybe it was important to you or multiple people out there, but it's not an easy thing. And producer Sean and all the wonderful men and women that we have working for us each and every show, we got to pick and choose. And sometimes it's not easy, but I'm proud of what we have done so far. And thank you to this person, anybody else that is just coming into the tent. We like to think you can get caught up pretty quickly. Yes, we'll repeat some stuff going forward to recognize and respect the fact that there are new people in the tent, but we're not slowing the bus down. Well, we'll slow it down a little bit here or there to let you jump on. And once you do jump on, you like to think that it's a pretty fun ride and that this ride has plenty of road ahead of it. And whether it's going to Louisville or any place else and taking this show on the road, whether it's what we got planned again this summer and all of the wonderful things that we have done in the past when it comes to World Cups and big tournaments, and we'll do that again this summer. It is as I said before, a wonderful labor of love, and it's been really, really fun doing it. And here's to many, many more years doing it with you, my friend, and everybody behind the scenes. So, anything before we go?
Yes, I do want to wish Sean Sullivan a happy honeymoon. As we said at the top, he is heading to Italy tomorrow. I can't wait to see the pictures from his trip. Come Monday, there's a new sheriff in town. The Kyla Morris era begins at the State of the Union podcast.
It's going to be just fine. It's going to be wonderful. It's actually been more than fine. It's going to be wonderful. All right, continue to do all the things that you do, reviewing and downloading and rating and subscribing and all the different things, whether you're watching or whether you are listening to the show. We thank you for doing that. We will be back again next week. Enjoy all of your soccer on the field and in all of your life off the field. And until then, and as always, my friends, size the day.